Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 63.
Did the whole movie thing you said last time.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, 1963. Federico Fellini's 8.5.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe a top 10 film of all time for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a pretty amazing film.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal.
Cool.
Yeah, because I checked for sports stars, couldn't find any.
It's getting harder as we get into these higher numbers.
I'll marry Lemieux in a couple episodes.
Oh, there you go. That's right. That's right.
Then Jagger.
Jagger, yeah. He's the oldest hockey player of all time. Damn, he's amazing.
Right. Damn right. So, did you survive snowpocalypse?
Oh, man. Barely. I drove to work one day when it started snowing really bad, and I barely made it home. So,
just for the record, we are Canadian, but we live on the west coast of Canada. Mm-hmm. It never snows here.
That's right.
Never.
Never.
And nobody is prepared when it does. Mm-hmm. It hasn't snowed here in like 2.5 years.
That's right.
And nobody's prepared. It becomes like a giant apocalypse.
Totally.
Yeah. There's like no snow on the ground and the town is shut down.
Exactly.
It's like maybe at like 2 inches.
Yeah.
Shut down.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was pretty bad. I actually had to skip some movies.
Yeah, we were in the middle of a film festival, and I missed two.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed to see a couple movies. I was really sad I didn't get to see Prevenge because it was snowing that day.
More on that one later.
Cool, cool. Yeah. What else have you been up to?
February 1st, I woke up at 8:45 in the morning and went straight to my computer. Waited till 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's right.
Started hitting refresh.
There you go.
And motherfucker, I got a super fan badge for Fantastic Fest.
You did.
Holy shit.
Congrats, so, man.
It wasn't right away.
Yeah.
It took me 8 minutes to get one.
Oh, really?
Kept on hitting refresh, and I guess somebody let one go.
Yeah.
Kabam.
Nice.
I was all over that.
That's awesome.
Other than the fact that it was close to $650 Canadian.
That's right. Yeah.
Which made me really want to cry.
That's right.
But yeah, looks like I'm going to Fantastic Fest.
Wicked, man.
If I don't get stopped at the border.
Oh, that's a scary thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm spending all this money and it better be cool.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, Fantastic Fest bound. I was actually training a new guy and he asked me a question at like 10 to 9 or whatever time it was. And I answered his question, and then it was like 15 minutes later, and I got your text. So I was like, oh, fuck.
Shit.
That sucks. I forgot to.
You know what, though? The first time I went, I had a fan badge.
That's right, yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to fuck around. I want my movies.
Yeah.
I want to know what I'm seeing, and I just want to have fun.
Make your own schedule.
Last Fantastic Fest, I kind of didn't have fun. I just treated it like it was a regular film festival.
Oh, yeah.
Where I had to get my seat.
Oh, yeah.
And this one's going to be different.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. That's awesome, dude. So, September. Austin bound.
Yeah, totally. The dream of 150 movies in a month is alive.
That's crazy.
It's going to happen.
That's crazy.
I made it to 146 the last time, and my eyes wouldn't focus anymore.
Yeah, you almost died.
It was bad. But I would have done it if I had watched movies on travel days.
That's true.
So it's going to be, I'm doing it.
Nice.
Fuck it.
Nice.
I don't care if it kills me.
Right on, dude.
A couple other weird random things. Yeah. My favorite band of all time had their final concert a couple days ago, Black Sabbath.
Oh, okay.
I watched a little bit of some YouTube footage and got a little misty.
Oh, wow.
I love Black Sabbath.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, Tony Iommi is pretty much my god.
Right on.
He's absolutely, and you know, John Osborne's pretty good too.
Yeah, that's
his
right.
His friends call him Ozzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing stuff. The owner of my hockey team died, Mike Ilitch.
Oh, that's right.
Sad day. Mm-hmm. They were the laughing stock of the league. And then Mike Ilitch bought them.
Yeah.
And they won a lot of Stanley Cups in my time.
Oh, big time.
And without him, wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So big ups for Mike Ilitch. Fuck Tom Brady.
I've got respect for Tom Brady.
I got no respect for Tom Brady.
Oh man, he had the greatest comeback of all time.
No,
the Super Bowl.
The Atlanta Falcons lost that game. Tom Brady didn't win it.
He's got to get some credit though.
I guess, but why do teams not run the fucking clock down anymore?
I don't understand. It was a combination of bad coaching and really good quarterback play. Yeah, so.
And that Edelman catch.
Y'all, like Edelman catches. unreal,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I'll give Edelman credit. How about that?
There you go.
Manchester United's 3 points off second.
That's right, yeah.
Liverpool finally won a game.
It was like, what, two or three games?
Yeah.
It was two losses and like a draw and finally won.
Yeah. I hacked the hell out of my NES Classic.
Oh, that's right.
Went from 30 games to 605.
Nice.
It's pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
I put a bunch of like hacked ROMs on it too.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. Like different versions of Mario and Zelda and Metroid.
Right on.
Can't wait to play those.
Nice.
And last but not least, I hate doing this, but rest in peace, Rob Stewart.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He went out diving. It was like a deep dive,
I believe so.
And he surfaced, and something happened, and he went back under, and they found his body 200 feet below the ground.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, man.
Like that dude was awesome.
He was a great human.
Yeah, all about sharks, but more about like just saving the world.
Yeah,
we saw him at a Q&A at a film festival, and I swear it's like top five Q&A I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he had that audience in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
He could have said anything.
Yeah.
Like, we would have been like, let's go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was just a special dude.
Mm-hmm.
And in times where the environmental aspect of the world is being changed by Trump,
mm-hmm.
that was a guy you would have loved to have been on the forefront saying cool stuff about the environment and animals and... And he'll be sorely missed. It's terrible.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a great loss. And just a little bit about Rob Stewart for anybody who may not be familiar with his name. He's the documentary filmmaker behind Sharkwater and Revolution, two outstanding documentaries. He was in the middle of making his follow-up, right, to Sharkwater.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how far it's done.
It sounds like it was really close to being finished. I was checking out their Facebook page, and the producers kind of said, out of respect to Rob and his family, we're very close, but for now, let's just focus on the healing process. And so they had really kind, respectful things. So he had a great team behind him, and yeah, man, like when you watch Revolution, like that one really inspired me. I was like, man, this makes me want to be a better human in general. I like to think that all of the little motions I do at work or at home when it comes to recycling and thinking about the environment, part of it is through watching his movies. So he'll be greatly missed. And he was so young too. What was he, like 37 or something like that?
Yeah, it was tragic. We were at that Q&A, and I swear he talked to everybody after that screening.
Yeah.
Except for us, because we're...
But, yeah, I was a little starstruck by him.
Yeah, he was just a good-looking, charismatic dude.
Yeah,
he had that thing.
Yeah,
that only some people have.
Yeah,
he totally had it.
Yeah, that it's that charisma that he could just command the whole room, and he was just very confident and well researched, well read. He knew his stuff, and yeah, it's a great loss. I was actually quite down when they reported him missing. Remember, I texted you. It's like, Rob Stewart's missing. He was diving, and they can't find him. And yeah, I was in a really dark place during those few days, just thinking about, man, like if he is alive, just thinking about how uncomfortable he must be. But I'm just glad they found him. I'm glad the family can get some closure on that.
It's the only way you can think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got closure. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the new one. Mm-hmm. I hope it's as great as the other two, because I thought really highly of the guy. So
absolutely.
Rest in peace, my friend. Have a good one.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. And for anybody who hasn't seen his films, we highly recommend Sharkwater and Revolution. Track them down and give them a watch and get ready for the follow-up. Cool. Do you have anything else for us before we move on?
That is it.
All right.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. That's a lot to take in. I guess we can get into the next part of our show, the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie related. I'll kick things off for us this time.
Sure.
So I'm so riled up over this one. I hear this almost every week, whether it's at work or on the bus or through social media. Somebody says, but Rotten Tomatoes gave that movie 40%. How can you like it? Or or I'll say, you know, I disliked such and such movie, but they'll be like, oh, but Rotten Tomatoes gave it 95%. How can you say you disliked it? It's
like, why don't you just say it says 97%, and then we can say, we are the 3%.
We are the 3%. That's right. And the thing about Rotten Tomatoes is it's a collective score of only positive, negative. It doesn't really give any room for interpretation.
What's positive?
Yeah.
Three and a half?
I think three out of five. I think three out of five is positive. Okay. So that's enough. So if you get, you know, 10 reviews of three out of five, or sorry, out of 10 reviews, if you get nine of them that are three out of five and one that's under three out of five, that's 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's
three out of five is a borderline recommend for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a flawed system. What I do and what I always recommend to people is find a group of film critics you like to read. You don't even have to agree with them. Just enjoy their writing, their viewpoints, and read their stuff. Don't look at Rotten Tomatoes and let some stupid website decide for you.
Yeah, if you're gonna go for that, go for Metacritic.
Yeah, it's more accurate.
It's more accurate. Or just, how about you just watch some fucking films?
That's right.
Sorry.
That's right.
Don't be lazy.
That's right.
Don't let other people tell you where you should go with your art.
Yeah.
Figure it out yourself.
That's right. And what we hope to do here is we give you a bit of insight, and then you decide. We're not here to tell you what to do.
No. No, definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just a bunch of blowhards.
That's right. So that's my rant. Rotten Tomatoes.
Cool. So my rant is all about, can we just leave Tony Erdmann alone and not remake it?
No.
It's not even out yet here. It opens on Friday here.
That's right.
We both saw it in September. But Jack Nicholson? Kristen Wiig?
Yeah, that's pretty uninspired.
Okay. They're going to give it to some dude to direct when it was a female director.
Yeah, that's
gonna
right.
Fuck me. That's going to piss me off so much.
Yeah.
Why don't you just maybe, if you got to remake it, why can't Marinette just make it again?
That's true, yeah.
Let a female director do it.
Yeah.
Let her pick her choice of actors. You know why it's being made?
What's that?
Because Jack liked the movie.
Oh, really?
So he went to the studio and said, I want to make this movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. So it's nothing to do with somebody actually liking the film. It's just Jack Nicholson did.
Wow, I didn't know that
part. So I guess he hasn't made a movie in 9 years.
Yeah.
I guess he still has clout.
I guess so.
But how about that Edge of 17 director, Kelly Freeman Craig?
Yeah.
How about let her do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Or, yeah, as I said, Marinette. Just don't let a dude do it. I don't like Nicholson in that role.
No, he's
going to bring too many Nicholson-isms to it and screw it up.
Yeah.
Whereas the other guy was just like a plain dude who put fake teeth in.
That's right.
And had a weird sense of humor.
Yeah.
They're obviously not getting the film.
Yeah.
Which I heard a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of people who hate that film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So, okay.
They're bad at watching movies.
Totally. So, yeah, leave Tony Erdmann alone.
Yeah.
Learn how to read.
There you go.
Yeah.
Watch the original.
Yeah, rant out.
Rant out. Good rant, man. Yeah, I guess the studio, they think they see dollar signs right in an opportunity, so they'll throw $20 million at it and hope it sticks. Yeah. It's hard to say. It's a business.
They'll throw David O. Russell on it or something.
Oh,
and
my God. That'd be terrible.
They'll put the white dude on it.
Yeah, and, that's right.
It'll be a generic film.
It will be.
Whereas, are they going to have the, I'm going to be really trying to be vague here, the naked scene in the American film?
Definitely not.
No.
There's a lot of stuff that won't be there.
No.
That just won't make sense.
No.
Yeah. So skip Tony Erdmann remake.
I will still see it, but yeah. I hope for the best. But
yeah, yeah.
I don't need. I can read subtitles.
Yeah,
and the movie came out last year.
That's right.
It's stupid.
Yeah, right on, dude. Good rant. All right, let's get into some reviews here. You ready to review some movies?
Definitely.
All right, let's do it. Let's start out with the first one, John Wick Chapter 2.
Tell me, Mr. Wick, is this a formal event or a social affair?
Social.
And is this for day or evening?
I need one for day and one for night.
And what style?
Italian.
How many buttons?
Two.
Trousers?
Tapered.
How about the lining?
technical.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Chad Stahelski, Keanu Reeves, Ian McShane, Common, Lance Reddick, and Lawrence Fishburne. It's a little bit of a Matrix reunion.
Yeah.
After returning to the criminal underworld to repay a debt, John Wick discovers that a large bounty has been put on his life.
Dun, dun, dun.
IMDb.
Yeah, man. So what did you
think? So you don't. I haven't talked to you about this.
No, you haven't.
You have no idea what I think about this film. No clue. This is kind of cool. Usually we text back and forth after I've seen the film.
That's right.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But for different reasons than I thought I would.
Okay.
I was way more into the plot than I was into the fighting.
Okay.
I thought the fighting was repetitive.
It was. I agree with that.
And I thought they said it all in the first one when it came to the fights, and they brought nothing new to the fights, except for adding more people to it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Common and Keanu Reeves had a cool shootout scene.
Yeah, but
I really enjoyed
it. That was better than The Raid 2. It was the same fucking scene.
Yeah, that's true.
But that was cool. I still liked it. I just didn't think I was going to like the plot as much as I did.
Oh, right on.
I really liked the plot.
Yeah.
The whole idea of them expanding the organization of all these hired guns.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
Oh, totally.
And the idea of how many spinoffs they could have from that.
Oh, yeah.
Boggles my mind.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over how much I was so not into the fighting anymore.
Oh,
okay. It felt like, I've seen this.
Okay.
Like, I watched John Wick the night before, and remember that Fantastic Fest screening where everybody lost their goddamn mind?
Yeah, exactly.
And we're all like, John Wick just won Fantastic Fest,
because
nobody knew what that film was,
and
nobody knew what to expect. Well, I knew what to expect, and they didn't bring anything new, but man, that plot's really good.
Yeah.
So I recommend it for the plot, which is weird.
That is weird.
But
the
fighting is okay. It's just weird. I wanted more from the fighting.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I know where you're coming from, because I have it in my notes here that the henchmen are completely useless in this movie. They're merely like target practice for John Wick. And they hint at a little bit in the movie where it seems like we're going to get some cool, unique characters introduced up against John Wick. I felt like that never came to fruition. Maybe some stuff got left on the cutting room floor. But it was more just faceless henchmen. But I really did enjoy Common as one of his foes. Common, I was really impressed with his stuff. He's got a good presence, and he's got that quiet cool to him. And
Common's better than Keanu.
You think so?
Yeah.
Whoa, I don't know about that. I like Common a lot, though.
Yeah.
They had some really cool back and forth in the movie. But yeah, I think the beginning sets the table for something that maybe isn't fully realized. Like it starts out, it's louder, it's bigger budget, more bad guys, bigger sets. And you definitely can tell that there's more money involved in this one.
But the first one felt like a ballet.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything was so beautifully choreographed,
and
I didn't get that feeling off of this.
Okay, yeah.
It just felt like John Woo stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I got that feeling, too. I was like, I even wrote down here, he kind of channels Chow Yun-Fat with the gun-fu stuff.
Yeah. The one thing I really liked about John Wick 2 is that he constantly ran out of ammo.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, no infinite repeating bullet gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't Halo or something.
That's true.
Yeah.
Some of that, you know, as I was watching that, I was like, is that a reflection on, like, their budget and how they need to be smart with their resources? Like, he's being very smart with his resources, and that was something that I thought of for a minute there. But yeah, I really enjoyed the world building. They build on the first one, the Continental Hotel, and new characters, different assassins.
Ian McShane is amazing.
Yeah, Ian McShane is so cool, man. He is like such a badass. And yeah, the main bad guy, he's kind of whatever. What was he, Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was useless.
Yeah. Forgettable.
Yeah.
Forgettable bad guy. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one, though. It's some people ask me, which one do you prefer, the first or the second one? I answered the first one, but this is a really good follow-up. And if you enjoy the world of they built in John Wick, certainly right up your alley. Like, I can't imagine somebody having a bad time with this one.
I'm sounding super low on it, but I'm not. It's still a really good sequel, which is weird because usually that doesn't happen. And the ending made me like fist pump.
Oh, totally.
Like a madman.
Yeah.
Let's just go.
Yeah.
Part three right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it to me right now.
Yeah. I rated it 4 out of 5.
Yeah. I gave it the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not as good as John Wick 1, yeah, but it's still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And we don't get this, like, is better than every action film that came out last summer times 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much fun to watch. But yeah, it doesn't really leave you with a ton to chew on afterwards, which is fine. I would say my enthusiasm for the franchise exceeds like my rating of the film. Like, I'm sure I, you know, quote unquote, only gave it a 4 out of 5. But I was geeking out through most of the movie.
It's because we were there at the first screening.
Yeah, that's true.
And nobody knew what it was.
Yeah.
And the filmmakers had no idea what they had. Mm-hmm. And then everybody at Fantastic Fest just loved that film. Yeah. Do you remember when Keanu came into the South Lamar?
Oh, yeah, man.
Like a fucking god.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in the world who came there that was big had, like, security around them. Not Keanu Reeves. He walked through the crowd.
Yeah, he was his Jesus. Own security. Yeah.
I know. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, that Keanu was cool. Keanu Reeves
for the yeah. goddamn win. He's so good. Yeah. But, yeah, why didn't John Wick 2 play Fantastic Fest? That would have just blown the roof off.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess it wasn't ready. But
maybe, yeah. That's what I was hoping for, but no such luck.
But yeah, it's a good movie.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Really good movie.
Especially for this time of year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. Xander Cage or John Wick? If you were to recommend film to somebody to go and see, what would you say?
I would say John Wick, but deep down, I think I might have a preference for Xander Cage. Because that one was just ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
They just really go for the ridiculous. Yeah,
I'd be like going to see John Wick, but if you got some spare time, you might want to check out XXX.
Yeah, man.
Because it's way better than you think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't deserve to be that good, I don't think.
Exactly.
But, yeah,
I agree,
me
man.
Me and my weird questions.
Yeah. Yeah. John Wick, I think, is a better world. World building, but Xander Cage, like the execution of the action, I think is just a little bit more fun to watch, I guess is what I'm going for.
Yeah, I definitely laughed a lot more.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Cool. So that's John Wick.
John Wick.
All right. Okay, so let's get into our next review. This one is the Lego Batman movie.
Sir, it's time for you to stop this unhealthy behavior.
No, it's not.
You need to take responsibility for your life.
Not right now, I don't.
And it starts by raising your son.
I'm sorry. I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
The young orphan you adopted at the gala, remember?
Wow! Stairs! Whee!
He's been living here for the past week.
Hello, table!
And I must say, I've grown rather fond of the young lad.
Hello, secret camera.
You should get to know him. You and he have a lot in common.
Oh, God.
Doesn't he deserve a chance for someone to take him under their wing?
All right, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Chris McKay, Bruce Wayne must not only deal with the criminals of Gotham City, but also the responsibility of raising a boy he adopted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, IMDb.
Sure.
Will Arnett as Batman. Michael Cera as Robin. Rosario Dawson as Barbara Gordon. And half of Hollywood.
That's right.
Doing voices.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I was going to write them down, but it would have taken like a page.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
You just saw this one. I saw it yesterday, and I didn't tell you what I thought about it until today, but.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys are a little bit overpraising this one.
People got out of control. Some people are saying it's the best Batman movie ever, and one of my buddies called it a masterpiece, and I was just like, it's a piece, all right.
I think I like it more than Adrian does.
Yeah, I was really down on this one.
But I'm still giving it like a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah. My initial reaction was 3 out of 5, but on further reflection, I'm thinking more 2 out of 5. Just because I find when it comes to comedy, there seems to be something going on that Hollywood has picked up on. Whether it's Sing Street or Stranger Things, 22 Jump Street, and now Lego Batman movie. People just want meta humor and one-off references that they understand and can relate to. And they go, oh, I know that reference. It's like that joke in the Avengers. As long as you quote-unquote get the reference, that instantly makes it funny. And it's so hilarious and ha-ha-ha. But it's lazy and it'll be dated by the time it comes out on Blu-ray.
And it's cool if you do it every 2 to 5 minutes, not every 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's just nonstop pop culture references just thrown at your face. Nonstop. It's brutal.
So let me get to the meat and potatoes of it. I don't like Batman in this movie.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan either.
So I guess small doses, because I kind of dug him in Lego Movie.
Yeah.
But he's just an arrogant, douchey asshole in this movie.
Yeah.
When was Batman ever an asshole?
I don't know.
The world's greatest detective is a douchebag.
Yeah.
He's all about himself, and he's just a prick. And there's a reason why he's alone, because I don't think anybody could like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Am I supposed to like him?
Yeah. Okay. No. I don't know.
So animation is stunning.
Yeah.
Thought it was pretty cool. I saw it in 2D. You saw it in 3D.
Yeah.
Which you said the 3D sucked.
Oh, it's just a cash grab.
The whole idea of the movie is the Joker gets told by Batman that he isn't his number one enemy guy. I mean, Joker gets really hurt.
Yeah.
I like Joker in the film. Joker's really funny. He's good. And
played by Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, I know. And he comes up with this really weird idea to try to get back at Batman. And it's so outlandish, it actually kind of works.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then Batman shows up with his stupid one-liners and just fucks it up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I hated Robin.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just annoying.
Yeah.
Like Michael Cera doing Michael Cera things.
Yeah. Yeah, Batman, IMDb says he got adopted by, Robin got adopted by Batman. They're at a party, and he says, okay, and then the kid's there. There's no paper signed or anything. Yeah. It's just because he said, okay, he like moves in. It's really weird.
It is,
yeah. Kind of took me out of the film, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Lego Movie.
No. That was a smart movie.
And a surprise.
And a big surprise. Yeah.
This is not.
Yeah. And, you know, people thought it was funny. I don't know if it's in the trailer, but when there's shootouts, the person with, you know, the rifle, they'll go pew, 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 pew. And, you know, that was kind of funny the first time I saw that. But as it goes through the rest of the movie, I was just like, oh, okay, you're beating this dead horse. It's not funny anymore.
I liked some of the henchmen of Joker. I thought Bane was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was good.
He had some little funny little one-liners.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I did really like the Joker stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just eliminate Batman,
yeah,
the namesake of the film, and it probably would have been a really good film.
Yeah.
I just didn't like Batman.
Yeah. I don't get this take on Batman, and I guess it's sort of the opposite of the way he's normally portrayed, but that doesn't make it enjoyable to me.
Oh, and by the way, is this a kid's film?
I don't think so.
It's more for like 30-year-old geeks.
Yeah, it really is.
Kids in my audience were not into it.
Yeah, when you mentioned that, I went to like a 12 o'clock afternoon screening, and I didn't hear any of the kids having fun like they usually do if they're, you know, at like Monsters University or Cars or something.
Yeah.
This one, they're just kind of like, oh, yeah. Like me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, as I said, it's like a 3.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I liked had nothing to do with Batman. So is that really much praise?
I don't think so. Because he's supposed to be the star of the show. And
I have a feeling if I watch it again, I'd probably get a lower rating.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like a 2 out of 5 on further reflection. And I don't know. I left the theater with a bad taste in my mouth. And I was like, oh yeah, that's the thing now. Meta humor and references that nerds will recognize. And it's just an easy layup for them. And that's no substitution for clever setups.
Yeah, we definitely don't like those kinds of movies. Like, we both hated 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Sing Street.
Now this is what this is.
Yeah. It's a trend that I'm not okay with. But hey, it's making money.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll get more of that shit.
Yeah, there's a Ninjago movie coming out next year. The Ninja Lego.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I may not even see that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so another one where you've probably made up your mind to see it. These are just our thoughts, which are correct, by the way.
Nah, see it for yourself. Make your own judgment.
Right on. Cool. Well, let's move on. I think we've talked enough about Lego Batman.
Okie dokie.
Let's talk about Personal Shopper.
What are you doing in Paris?
I'm waiting. I'm gonna go.
What are you waiting for?
My brother died here. My twin brother died in Paris.
An accident?
No. No, heart attack.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Olivier Assayas, a ghost story that takes place in the fashion underground of Paris.
Hey.
That's really vague.
It is.
Like the movie.
The whole movie is vague.
So yeah, I saw this one in September and was raving about it. Maybe it was in my top 10 of last year.
Mm-hmm.
You finally got to saw it. See, I was super happy.
Yeah, man. And I think you were maybe a little bit nervous because you're like, I don't know if you like it. You might hate it.
Well, it's definitely, now that you've seen it, you understand, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I loved it from start to finish.
Awesome.
It just, this is the kind of movie that ignites me as I'm watching it, because it's very, you know, some people will say obtuse, some people will say vague. I think Assayas just trusts the audience to follow along, or even getting lost on the journey is still pretty fun. And
yeah,
it leaves you thinking long after you see the movie.
Why would you want people to hold your hand when you can have something like this?
Mm-hmm.
Any day of the week, I'd watch this over anything like a Michael Bay film where he's literally throwing breadcrumbs at you.
yeah.
So yeah, this is the Kristen Stewart show.
Oh, dude, she is so good.
Yeah. The main plot is she has a twin brother who dies, and they had a pact before he died where if one of them died, they would try to contact the other person from beyond the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both mediums. You know, people who talk to ghosts.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is either her doing the ghost stuff or her buying dresses for her celebrity person that she personal shops for. I don't, that's about as much as I want to say, because this is kind of a weird flick. The ghost stuff is so vague at times, you can just tell that he doesn't give a fuck if you know what's going on. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is going to piss 95% of the people off.
Yeah.
Except for me,
yeah.
Adrian, and a bunch of other people who are just like, all day, man.
Yeah.
All day.
All day. There's a, and I'll be vague about this because I think you're in the same camp as me. You don't want to give too much away to anybody who hasn't seen it. But there's something that happens throughout the movie, something that all of us or most of us do every single day. It's something you do without really thinking about it. And Assayas kind of finds a way to make it really fucking terrifying and frightening. And I think some people may find this thing to be kind of scary and frightening to start with. But just the way he amps it up, I was like beside myself during those moments. I was just like, holy shit, like, how is this working right now? And why am I so freaked out? And I love this so much. And
like, have you ever been kind of like weirded out by text messaging like that before?
Never.
No.
Never ever.
No.
Yeah.
Like it's weird how it works.
Yeah.
And it's It's a tough film for people to understand, but I have seen it twice now, and I kind of have two different theories about the film.
Okay, yeah.
Waiting for that third viewing.
Okay,
that third viewing is going to knock it out of the park.
There you go.
I'm going to solidify my view.
Nice.
But do you think you get the film?
Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts on it, and I shared those with you through text message. And but the thing is, I can't say with any confidence that either one is, you know, quote unquote, correct for what you see. And I love that, though. Like,
yeah.
It's so cool. It kind of takes me back to when we first watched Enemy, because Enemy is open for interpretation, and I've heard probably about a dozen different takes on that movie. And
I remember when I yelled out right after we saw that film, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck just happened there, but it's the best film of the year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude.
And
so good.
Personal Shopper was my number 8 film of the year last year.
Nice.
And I think it's brilliant.
It is.
But I understand if you don't like it,
mm-hmm.
but that, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Because Esaias is making a film that is going to piss people off, but
oh, yeah.
I hope people give it a chance.
Yeah.
Not just because Kristen Stewart's in it,
mm-hmm.
but she's really great in it.
She is.
And she's becoming one of the great actresses of her generation.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's a tough film, but I really love it. And I'm super glad you finally got to see it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And there's one particular sequence that plays out during the movie that just turned my entire body ice cold. Like, I had chills. I was just so amazed at what I was witnessing and freaked out. And
I'm going to be vague.
Yeah.
Does it involve doors?
No. I don't think a door.
Doors.
Doors, no.
Plural.
No.
Okay.
No.
That was a scene that really got me.
Okay, yeah.
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 The opening and closing of them.
Okay. Yeah, no, it wasn't that
okay,
for me.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'll motion something for you and you'll
get it. Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
I just made an obscene gesture.
Twice. Yeah.
the first time, just, oh man, I was like, fuck yeah. And so, yeah, Personal Shopper is a great film. And like Bill said, I totally understand if somebody watches it and doesn't get it, if they hate it. I get that, but give it a try if you're remotely interested. I think it's a great film.
At my screening last week at the film festival, my second viewing, the movie ended, and I started, like, golf clapping. And it's like, bravo.
Nice.
Bravo.
Yeah.
And the person sitting beside me was like, what was that?
Nice.
And it's like, eh, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This I like to think.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah,
man.
Your thought process on Enemy is good. I like that.
Yeah.
If you like Enemy, I think you're gonna like Personal Shopper.
Right on.
So take that as the bar.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we need to say much more about it because
I always hate when I've seen a film like way early.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, I've been hyping this for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's been heard too much, and it's gonna be the expectations are gonna be super huge.
Yeah.
But I like it when it hits, man.
Yeah, man.
Love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I think it's coming out later this year. I hope it is.
I think it comes out in March.
March? Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So this is a little bit of a preview.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. High fives all around, man. Personal Shopper.
Love it.
Well, let's move into our next section of the show, Movie Club. This is where Bill picks a movie, we watch it, and we come back here and talk about it. Most of these movies are a little bit older, so we do get into a bit of spoiler territory, but we'll give you a heads up on that when and if that happens. So why don't you tell our listeners about the movie we watched for this episode's Movie Club.
Femme Fatale from 2002, directed by Brian De Palma, starring Rebecca Romijn and Antonio Banderas. Yeah, it's a Brian De Palma film.
It is, man.
You figure that out right off the top.
Yeah.
But right off the top, I don't know if you noticed, but the Rebecca Romijn character is watching the Billy Wilder film Double Indemnity.
Oh, no, I didn't notice
All about a beautiful woman leading men into a situation and then fucking them over.
Oh, really?
So okay. Right from the beginning of the film, he's telling you exactly what this film is.
Okay.
And I love that.
Sweet.
Just watching Double Indemnity. Love it.
Right on.
Yeah, she, Rebecca Romijn character gets together with a group of thieves to steal this like really elaborate body jewelry thing made of like diamonds and all this stuff at the Cannes Film Festival.
That's right.
So people everywhere.
Yeah, man.
And Wow. The first 20 minutes of this film is a freaking masterclass.
Yeah, man.
De Palma on another level.
Yeah.
And on the rewatch, I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He is just a beast in this film.
Yeah.
Split screens everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
All this tension. Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
The first 20 minutes, you're a big fan of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The setup is so cool because, yeah, as you mentioned, it's at the Cannes Film Festival. Lots of people. How are they going to pull this off? And you see how they pull off the heist, and it's really damn sexy. You get these hot ladies together, and that was really fun to watch, and just kind of guessing where is it going to go next. And he keeps adding all of these elements that just build to the tension and the thrilling aspect, and that was just so much fun to watch.
It's like domino blocks.
Oh, totally.
One falls over.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, because she's a femme fatale, she double crosses them.
Yeah, that's right.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And while trying to get away from all this stuff, she gets mistaken for another woman by this the parents of the woman, and she assumes her identity.
That's right.
And when she's like trying to leave the country, because this is a Brian De Palma film, shit goes absolutely backwards.
That's right.
Yeah. Something happens involving a tub and she like falls asleep or something, and the world becomes totally different because it's a Brian De Palma film.
That's right.
Did you go along with the whole like dream aspect?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I was all the way along for the ride.
And did you know it was a dream?
I didn't know.
Yeah. So when that like happened, were you like, holy shit?
Yeah. It was like getting the carpet ripped from underneath you big time. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. And I think that he's kind of just telling the audience like things can change depending on, choices you make and can have far different outcomes. Of course, not under those circumstances, but just in general.
And it hit me really hard. I hadn't seen this film in probably since it came out.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd forgotten little pieces of it. I remember the dream part, but Antonio Banderas shows up as a photographer who sort of knows a little bit about the plan and starts figuring shit out. And he's like trying to screw around with her because she becomes like an American's,
ambassador's
wife.
Yeah.
With the stolen identity.
Mm-hmm.
And Antonio Banderas gets a picture of her,
mm-hmm.
which nobody's ever gotten a picture of her. There's like a bounty on this picture.
Yeah.
And I like Banderas in this film.
Yeah, he's good.
He's quite good.
Yeah.
Just kind of being like the Antonio Banderas character.
Yeah.
He's always kind of the same.
He's really slimy in this one, too.
Yeah. But he's always kind of slimy.
Yeah, like that's true.
Like a desperado or something like that. He's so good.
Yeah.
Just twists and turns. I love a good twisty film.
Yeah.
After she wakes up from the dream or whatever, the movie gets it starts to replay stuff, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And might not be everybody's cup of tea, but man, I love this film.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Yes, it's awesome, dude. I was guessing through the whole film, the whole runtime, and once you realize it was just a dream, I was just like, whoa, dude, you totally fooled me. I was like all the way into that ride, and before she wakes up, shit's going really bad for her, and things are just out of control. And I really enjoyed the ride. It was a really cool movie, and I was like, it's one of those ones where I was like, damn, I wish I saw this, back then. But so glad I finally got to see it. So
it's funny, like it was a complete flop.
Oh, was it?
And nobody went and saw it.
Damn,
it sucks. But
oh, yeah. That's too bad.
We're bringing it back.
That's right. Yeah.
For the millions of listeners.
Yeah, man.
The Green Screen of Death podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
All of the rentals and DVD purchases will rack up.
Yeah, I don't think it's on Blu-ray. It was off my DVD.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man.
De Palma's got definitely a style.
Oh, yeah.
You're either down with it or you're not. Mm-hmm. Some films I'm not. Like Snake Eyes. the Nicolas Cage film. Yeah. That film sucks.
I have campy fun with that one. it is pretty bad though.
Isn't Cage wearing like a gold suit in that film?
I think so.
And yeah. Oh god. Yeah,
it's just over the top.
I'm not of the mindset that Cage is a god.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Right on. But yeah, this is a lot of fun to watch, man. It was pretty cool. A really cool movie, and one that I'd definitely see again sometime, because it'll be fun to watch it after knowing the beats and kind of, spotting his tricks the second time around.
I was trying to have a lighter film after Boy A.
Oh, yeah. Boy A was pretty hardcore, dude.
I know. I'm like, I got to be nicer here. I can't just go bam, bam, bam with depressing films or anything. Yeah. But cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Really good.
Everybody watch Femme Fatale.
Yeah, dude. Check it out.
I was going to do this one about a year ago.
Okay.
But it seemed kind of topical now.
Okay.
With the whole immigration ban and the fact that you just saw an Asghar Farhadi film, mm-hmm. who's from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, why not show Adrian what I think is the best film ever made from Iran?
Okay.
And this might be a top 10 film of all time for me.
Oh, wow. Really?
So I think really highly of this film.
Nice.
It's from director Abbas Kiarostami, mm-hmm. who died last year.
Okay.
Sucks. He's such an amazing filmmaker. Pretty much one of those films where you watch this film and it's just like, holy shit, this is like a new definition of filmmaking.
Oh, cool.
He's like changing the freaking script.
Wow.
And you're watching this film, and first time I saw it, it blew me away. And then like 4 years ago at the first Cinematheque 24-hour movie marathon, mm-hmm. they played this film, Close Up.
Okay.
And it blew the house down.
Oh, sweet. Like,
everybody loved it.
Nice.
It's a documentary that's not a documentary. It's a film that just... It changes everything, man.
Really?
I think it's that good.
Nice.
I hope you're down with it.
Yeah.
It's a challenging film, but I think you'll understand its greatness.
Cool, man.
So, yeah, Close Up, Abbas Kiarostami from 1990.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's a brilliant film.
Can't wait.
As I said, top 10 of all time for me.
Nice.
I can watch that film every day and find new shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's so good.
That's awesome.
And I hope I'm not overpraising it, but
man.
I do think it's really that good.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, and on that topic, the thing is, I know you get worried about me when you hype up a film, I think you're the same way as well, in the sense that no matter what people are saying, you've got your own approach and,
I can walk into a film blind.
Yeah.
And not take any judgment into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Trailers don't bother me.
Yeah.
I want to see a trailer. Get me hyped.
Nice.
Get me hyped.
Yeah.
But, no hyperbole here on this film, man. It's
cool.
It's the goods.
Right on, dude.
So I hope you enjoy it.
Cool. Yeah, I'll check it out. So if anybody else wants to join Movie Club, and I wanted to mention this in the last episode, if you happen to listen to any of our older episodes, and if you watch any of the Movie Club movies we've watched in the past, send us your thoughts. We'll read them on the show, whether we talked about it 2 months ago or last year or this one. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll read your thoughts on the next episode.
You know what's funny? I almost did what I did last year and did a little 2016 catch-up.
Oh, is that right?
So I think I might do that next episode.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
A nugget that Adrian missed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right on.
Yeah.
Cool.
I got it in mind.
Okay, right on. Cool, man.
Yeah, last year he watched Mustang and Son of Saul.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, might have to
get me caught up.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. If you want to watch Close Up, check it out. Next time we record should be February 26th. So you can get your comments to us on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll read them on the show.
Cool.
Awesome, dude. So that's Movie Club. We hope you join and hope you enjoy. So we can move into our next part of the show, the lightning round. This is where we talk about other movies we watched between last episode, this episode. We just don't give them the full movie review treatment. finally, I have a bunch of movies to talk about.
Nice.
I went to Victoria Film Festival, the local film festival here runs, what is it, 10 days or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
They bring in two weekends. Yeah, they bring in some good stuff. They you know, in the past, they programmed Enemy, and we got that ahead of everybody else, and that was pretty cool.
The Look of Silence.
Look of Silence. Yeah. We saw that before people saw it at South By.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So they definitely...
Oh, speaking of that, one of the films that we're reviewing is also playing at South By that we saw here and I saw in December.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
On,
Oh, we'll get to it.
Okay, cool. So,
fuck South by Southwest. Yeah,
fuck South by.
We already seen that shit.
Yeah.
Adrian says it's a cool festival.
It is, yeah. But you just, oh man, it's so expensive.
I know.
I don't understand how poor people go to it.
Isn't a film pass like $1,200?
It's excessive. I know. Something like that, yeah. I went 1 year and I had fun, but I couldn't get past how much money I was spending every single day. And I was just like, oh, I don't think I can do this anymore. So, yeah. And that's enough about South By. Let's talk about some movies. I'll go first, since I think we'll have a bit of overlap here. And I think I have a few less movies than you. So the first night of the festival, I saw Burn Your Maps. That's with Jacob Tremblay, Hollywood's hottest item outside of, you know, Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling.
That cracker white kid.
That cracker white kid.
Adrian Charlie agrees good to death.
That's right. He's adorable in this one, man. It's really hard to dislike this film. Not that I was trying to, but he plays a little boy who, during his class, they have this cultural day where they have to study a culture and tell the other students about it. And he decides during his studies that he's actually Mongolian. Not that he wants to be, but that he is. So,
what?
Yeah, he fashions like some goats out of toilet paper rolls and toilet paper, walks them around and wears, you know, classic cultural clothing. And he wants to go over to the other side of the world and explore. And some guy creates a GoFundMe to send him and this documentary filmmaker over there to get to where he wants to explore his culture that he identifies with.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's crazy, right?
Hard pass.
It's got Vera Farmiga.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
That's sounded better now.
She is nice, man. Yeah. I've had a thing for her for many years. It is pretty cheesy, though. It's...
Yeah, it definitely sounds cheesy.
Yeah, it's one of those movies. There's a lot of things I had problems with, but I had a smile on my face the whole movie. So mission accomplished, I guess. And then I saw Free Fire, the latest film from Ben Wheatley.
That's the South By film.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And we saw it.
Huge premiere at South By Southwest. I saw that shit in December.
You did. That's awesome. We already watched it.
Yeah. I've seen it twice.
I had a few friends actually message me and be like, what the fuck? How did you see Free Fire? And they were so pissed off.
You should have been like, Vimeo screener, yo.
I should have.
And I'm not sharing it.
I should have played that up, didn't I? This one's fun. I had a blast with this. It's it is, as advertised, a 90-minute shootout scene.
Which I think drags a bit in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Yeah. All the actors there, you can tell they're having a blast.
Standouts?
Jack Traynor. Armie Hammer is funny.
Sam Riley.
Yeah.
And the great Charlton Copley.
Charlton Copley, is man.
So good in the film.
He plays like the coward to perfection.
Yeah. Who is just super pissed off when his suit gets crinkled.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, through the movie, they all progressively get more injured. It's just so funny. Like, oh man. Like, there's a bit where Armie Hammer cuts his hand and, you know, on paper that shouldn't work, but I was just cackling and having a blast.
Armie Hammer does good comedy.
He really does.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. is underrated.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got really good chops in that one.
Yeah.
yeah, I had a blast. I had a lot of fun with it. And there was a lot of walkouts during my screening. A lot of people were like, this is just a dumb shootout scene. And
yeah, well, it basically is.
Yeah, it really is. But I think that's a sort of Ben Wheatley maybe just threw the gauntlet down at himself and said, okay, let's see if we can make this happen. I think he succeeded and I had fun, and I get it. If it's not your cup of tea, I totally get that. I think it's a lot of fun. I think deep down it's about male egos and, you know, commentary on gun violence, all that fun stuff.
Super fun soundtrack too.
Oh yeah, soundtrack's awesome.
Yeah,
John Denver. Oh dude, best use of John Denver. Yeah, like on film.
Yeah,
so funny,
so good. Yeah, I'm glad you got to see that one finally.
Yeah, right on. So yeah,
super early.
That's right. This one I'll kind of skip over it because it's a few years old and I finally got to see it. Prisoners, Denis Villeneuve's film. I've had it on Blu-ray for like 2 years. I just never made time for it. I love this film. It's so good.
I was at a film festival when Prisoners opened and I made time in my schedule. Had it written in my schedule.
Oh, nice.
2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Prisoners.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good call, man.
Yeah. Such a great film.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The performances are great and it's just so much fun to watch and stressful to watch too.
Yeah.
So yeah, Prisoners, really, really enjoyed that.
I heard that that Denis Villeneuve guy is pretty good.
Yeah. He's an up and comer, man.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I think he's going to make it one day. Yeah, he's the director of Blade Runner.
Yeah, which supposedly he's editing right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Just in time for us to see it at Fantastic Fest, I hope.
Works for me.
That'd be cool. I also watched Maudie. This is with Sally Hawkins and Ethan Hawke. It's about Maud Lewis, a renowned Canadian painter from Nova Scotia. Man, this is just a delightful film about a woman and a man who just enjoy the simple things in life, and she enjoyed expressing herself through painting. And I'm not too familiar with her story, but from the buzz I heard from the audience, sounded pretty accurate what they did here. And you saw this film last September, right?
Last September, yeah. And I was raving about it then. I said then, and I say it now, Sally Hawkins was the best performance I saw last year by a female.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, man, because she really just elevates this film.
She disappears, man.
Yeah.
Like, she is a different person.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
And Ethan Hawke.
Mm-hmm.
Give it up for Ethan Hawke. He starts this, like, curmudgeon guy who gets sort of softened by this ball of energy.
Yeah
it's unreal. Mm-hmm. I love that film.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if it has distribution in the US, but seek it out if you can. It's a good cry.
Oh, big time.
Good cry.
Yeah, man. I don't think there was a dry eye in the audience. You could hear everybody weeping and sniffling, and I was probably crying the most in the theater.
Like a dead seal.
Oh, man. I was like, I could not contain myself. I had that cry where you get tears in your eyes, and then it stings your eyes, and you cry some more, and then just... Yeah, my whole face was leaking.
Nice. So,
and then I saw a documentary called Theater of Life. It's a really cool premise, just poor execution. It's about chefs at 2015 Expo, I believe. What they do is they take entirely discarded food items and turn them into gourmet meals for homeless people. And it's a really cool premise. It's just when the movie starts, it feels like it's missing the first reel where they introduce the idea and they kind of just let you watch. And then, yeah, just the edit for the film, it's very hard to follow when it shouldn't be that hard to follow.
It also sounds like it should be a short.
Yeah. Yeah. They stretch it out big time. Like, they follow a few characters and you're supposed to care for them. I didn't really care for them. One of them is like really grossly racist. I was just like, what are you doing?
That's a good way to make you like the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And I believe it's a Canadian film too. So I believe you and me and the people of Canada paid for that movie.
Sweet.
Yeah. So too bad. Didn't like it. Also, drum roll, finally got to see The Salesman.
Yes.
Dude, holy shit. How good is this movie, man?
It's really good. Yeah. You know, say what you will about Tony Erdmann. If The Salesman wins the Best Foreign Film Oscar, I'd be like, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, I get that.
Political stuff aside, It's a really damn good film.
It is.
Farhadi is just on another level.
Yeah.
He's part of the European / lower part of the world top 10 directors right now. He's brilliant.
Absolutely.
Everything he makes is brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one is just a little bit about the film. The opening of the movie is the building is collapsing and all of the tenants have to evacuate. And this couple who we follow through the movie, they have to find a new place. And one of their friends is like, hey, I've got an opening over here. Why don't you move in here while you find a new place? The thing is, they're in a bad part of town where bad stuff happens. Criminal activity is common from the sounds of it. And something happens to the wife. Are they married? I can't remember. Yeah. Something happens to the wife and it kind of starts to crumble her world and his world. And then the movie just completely morphs into something else. And the script is just brilliant. It's very delicate. Like if there were any missteps in the script or of the performances, this whole movie could have come crumbling down. But everybody's all aboard, and man, I was white knuckling it through this whole movie.
Yeah, the last half hour is like white knuckle stuff.
Yeah, my hands were sweating, and I was like holding my breath. And you made a really interesting comment that I didn't even notice. There's no score in this movie, right?
No.
Yeah, so there's no score to build that tension, to help build that mood.
He doesn't need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
That is ballsy, dude.
Yeah.
That's so intense, man. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. It's a 5 out of 5 for me all
day.
Yeah,
man. Same here.
Yeah, it's a brilliant film. Yeah. Glad you finally got to see it.
Yeah, man.
All these films I saw last year that you're finally getting to see.
Yeah.
I think The Salesman opens like now.
Yeah, I think so.
Or is already opened. So if you haven't seen it, I know Will Linda saw it in Austin, so it's playing there.
Yeah.
So it should be around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And support the film because they're fucking Asghar Farhadi over.
If
he wins the Oscar, he won't be there.
Yeah, that sucks. That's sad.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I closed off the Victoria Film Festival by seeing My Life as a Zucchini. What is this, Switzerland
film? But it's in French?
Yeah, stop motion film in French. I really enjoyed this one.
I did too, actually. I thought it was really good.
Charming, really sweet. The characters I'm rooting for. It's about a kid who loses his mother in the opening sequence of the movie. She's an alcoholic. She's mean. Father's out of the picture. And he has to go to this... Is it an orphanage? It's very small orphanage.
It's like a house.
Yeah. Where there's, what, 5 other kids?
Yeah.
And you get to know these kids. So they're kind of stereotypes at first, but once you get to know them, they're very complex, very layered. And I had a really good time with this one. It's a beautiful film.
Yeah, I really like this one. I thought, and plus, this is a kids' film in Switzerland / France. Holy crap. There's a lot of stuff going on in this film that's very adult.
Yeah.
They talk
about sex in great detail.
There's people dying, and it's like, holy crap, this is unreal.
Yeah.
It's really touching, too.
It is.
I love this one.
Yeah.
Animated film nominee for Oscar.
It is.
It's going to lose to Zootopia.
Yeah. That's fucking stupid.
Like, they're not even in the same league. Like, one is like a classy, like, kind of adult orientated, like, film about, like, stuff happening. And, you know, say what you will about the whole racism thing about, like, Zootopia and, like, rising up and all that and the cool female character. This is not even the same kind of film.
No, man.
No.
Yeah, this one is on another level. Yeah, that and The Red Turtle are just. Amazing, amazing films. So much better than anything else.
I like Zootopia, but...
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'm not going to shit on Zootopia, but... Yeah, these just feel like they're in a different class.
Yeah.
Kubo, too.
Yeah, absolutely, Kubo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, My Life is a Zucchini. Whenever it becomes available to you, check it out. It's a beautiful film. It's stop-motion animation, so it's got that... When I see that, it just... It's so classy to me. I love seeing that kind of devotion to the craft. So, and it really comes through in this film.
It's so lo-fi, it's become like hi-fi.
Oh, totally.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Is that it for you?
That's it for me.
All right. Number one, Prevenge. Adrian missed this one because of the snowpocalypse.
I did.
Alice Lowe, who starred in Sightseers, the Ben Wheatley film. You might know her from that one. About a woman who is really heavily pregnant, and her unborn child is talking to her from the womb, telling her to kill people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a really cool premise.
Nice.
And it is a super dark film. It is very straightforward, dark. Wow, it's super dark. Wow, I was really shocked at how dark it was. It's a really great performance from Alice Lowe. She wrote the film and directed it. It's really good.
Cool.
It's on Shudder?
Yeah, I think.
In March?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that American and Canadian?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, cool. So March 25th, it's already opened in England. Prevenge. So good.
Cool.
I'd heard some good stuff about it, but it kind of shocked me how much I liked it.
Cool.
It's a think piece too. You really think about it afterwards, and cool. stuff opens up. It's really nice. Good.
Right on.
Death in Sarajevo, another film fest film that I've been to a lot of film fests, and I'd never heard of this film, and now I know why, because it's fucking terrible.
Oh damn!
Directed by Denis Tanovic, who did you see No Man's Land? Like
I think
15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Also known as the film that beat Amelie for the Oscar.
That's right. Yeah.
Fuck the Oscars.
What a crime.
It's about this hotel that's broke because their economy is so dead. And it's like a political statement about how their economy has been destroyed by war and all this weird stuff. And all the characters haven't been paid in 2 months. And nothing happens. It's terrible. Avoid this one. Avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid it. It was the worst film I saw at the festival. Never see that film. Yeah. Free Fire, we already talked about it. It's pretty good, I guess. The Commune, the new Thomas Vinterberg film, mm-hmm. who's a pretty big director, about these bunch of people who live in this house and try to coexist, and life kind of makes it so they can't.
Oh, okay.
It's very typical. It's a good movie. The ending sucks, though.
Oh.
So, yeah. If you ever get a chance to see it, walk out 5 minutes before it ends.
There you go.
Hey, seriously.
That's too bad, because he did The Hunt, right?
Yeah. He's a really good director. Mm. And the film is actually really quite good until the last 5 minutes.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. My Life is a Zucchini, we already talked about. Last but not least, it is the least, the one Adrian didn't see so he could be all Valentine's Day.
Hey, hey.
Take the wife out, take her out for some heart-shaped pizza.
Wine and diner, man.
And then go and see 50 Shades Darker.
Yes.
Legit, I was the only guy in the theater, and there was 300 women all dressed up for this movie. And just me in the back sitting there. People were looking at me like I was a weirdo. And I'm like, I should have just yelled out, it's for the podcast.
There you go.
Because this movie blows.
Oh, too bad.
I actually think this might be worse than the first one.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
See, I didn't find the first. I just thought the first one was bad. I didn't think it was boring. This one's boring.
Oh, really?
It's really boring.
Oh,
nothing happens. Like every 5 minutes, like something comes up and Anastasia gets all like freaked out and doesn't want to be with Christian anymore. That's the entire film. It's so terrible.
Damn.
Dakota Johnson is a really good looking woman.
Yeah.
And she's naked a lot in this film.
Okay.
And if that can't get me going, you're doing something wrong.
Oh, man.
So why do females find this good?
Yeah.
Jamie Dornan is a freaking doorknob in this film. He can't act to save his life.
Brutal.
He's so good in The Fall.
Yeah.
But Jamie Dornan is so terrible in this film. It's everything about this film.
Yeah.
It's not Resident Evil bad, okay. but it's still really damn bad.
Damn.
And all my female friends who like this stuff, you deserve better than this.
Yeah.
Watch something better than this.
Yeah.
Don't be that person.
Oh,
don't
man.
Go and see this film.
What
I didn't pay for it. So
what did the audience think of it?
I don't know. Jamie Dornan took his shirt off and they kind of whistled, and then it panned down and you saw his pubic hair.
Okay.
And they all went mental.
That's
like,
awesome.
I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if you know this, but the MPAA has a really bad thing about people thrusting during sex.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that you're only allowed so many thrusts.
Oh, that's hilarious.
To get a rating.
Yeah.
Jamie Dornan thrusts a lot in this film. And all I'm thinking about is, wow, this got a rating.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know way too much about movies, obviously. Oh, man,
that's funny.
So, yeah, it's one of the worst films of the year. Completely avoid it. Obviously, it's not for me. But that, you know what? That's not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
It should just be a good movie. It's not. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, avoid.
Too bad.
Yeah. Oh, enjoy it.
yeah.
See how the first one was your
I'm
worst.
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
The first one was your worst film of that year.
Yeah,
so.
It was.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We'll see. I'll get some sweet action after the movie, though.
Nice. Yeah. I can't wait for your test.
I was telling Sarah, I was like, when we go to the movie, we should arrive kind of late and look for our seats. And you know when couples stand at the bottom looking for seats and they look like idiots? What I want to do is put on one of those masquerade masks over her face while we're looking for seats and tie it on her. And then we'll go find our seat.
I got more.
Okay, there you go.
I'm not done. The first movie had a good soundtrack.
It did, yeah.
This one does not.
Oh, no.
There's this Taylor Swift song they play at least 3 times.
Oh, no.
It just drives me fucking nuts.
Oh, man. Bad movie.
Bad movie. You're going to love this one. I can't wait.
Right on, dude. I'll let you know. So, hey, there's lightning round. At least we could end on some laughs on that one.
Nice.
So, what do we have coming up? What's the next 2 weeks?
So, February 17th. Since when was Gore Verbinski a visionary director? The trailer for A Cure for Wellness, right at the beginning, says, from visionary director Gore Verbinski.
Yeah.
I'm like, motherfucker, I saw The Lone Ranger. He is not a good director.
Yeah.
Yeah, A Cure for Wellness. Looks pretty cool.
It looks cool, yeah.
Dane DeHaan.
Yeah.
Who I think is good.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of underrated. Mm-hmm. Looks like a weird hospital and he gets caught there.
Yeah.
I just hope it's not Shutter Island. I'm getting that vibe.
That would be pretty lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm getting that vibe, but I am. Fist Fight.
Oh, this is Ice Cube.
Ice Cube and Charlie Day.
Yeah.
I love Charlie Day.
Yeah.
And I like Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I hope it's funny.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
Trailer did nothing for me.
Same here.
Oof. And a movie we've been hearing about for like 2 years? The new Zhang Yimou film, The Great Wall.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Which I'm shocked is actually opening.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
Matt Damon, Saving China.
Yes. Yes, white man.
Yeah, with his bow and arrow. they built the wall to keep whatever out.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Yimou is a really good director. This looks kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the monsters are.
Yeah.
Are they like the things from The Host? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll see it. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Matt Damon and ponytail. Right on.
Yeah, man.
That's it for that week.
Nice. Nice.
And then February 24th, something called Collide. You ever heard of this?
I haven't heard of that. No.
It's got a good cast. It's got Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, Anthony Hopkins, and Ben Kingsley. I didn't watch the trailer. I have no idea what it is.
Never heard of it.
I haven't seen a trailer, and I've never heard of it.
Must be a good sign.
Already opened in Europe.
Okay.
8 months ago.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
that's a good sign.
Buried in February.
Yeah. Probably the one I'm most looking forward to, actually. Jordan Peele's first movie, Get Out.
Oh, yeah. That looks cool.
It's a Blumhouse movie,
mm-hmm.
but I can't knock that anymore.
It's tough with M. Night making cool movies.
Yeah, Shyamalan's making good films. And this one played Sundance. Got some good talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like Jordan Peele.
Yeah, man.
The trailer's great. So, can't wait. And finally, a movie that I don't even think Adrian even knows about and will never see. It's an animated film.
Uh-oh.
From China.
Okay.
The biggest Chinese financed animated film ever at $60 million. It's called Rock Dog.
Okay.
Okay. It's about a dog who plays a guitar.
Huh. That sounds awesome.
Sure. It cost $60 million to make, and it opened last year in Asia, and it's made $7 million.
Oh, no.
So they're kind of dumping it in February, I think.
Yeah.
I watched like 2 seconds of a trailer. Mm-hmm. Animation is shitty.
Oh, no.
It looks terrible. I turned it off. So
too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I got some stuff to look forward to.
Fucking Macon Blair movie on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. That'll be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, everybody watch the Macon Blair movie.
Oh, and Michael Stevenson has a movie coming out tomorrow, actually.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
Nice.
Girlfriend's Day, starring Bob Odenkirk.
Nice.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter and Instagram, so he's been posting a lot of stuff, and his wife has been posting a lot of stuff, too, so that's really exciting. Girlfriend's Day. Look for that on Netflix. Looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, man.
Cool.
So, next show.
Hey, all right. Okay, so I guess we can start to wrap up the show here. You're on Twitter, right?
I am on Twitter, at SoundJam69. Say hi.
Yes, and the show has a Twitter account. We're at @TheGreen_Screen. I have a Twitter account. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. We're also on Facebook. Run a search, The Green Screen of Death, and hit like. And hey, you can join the conversation there. You can also find us on various podcast platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death and do us a big favor. Hit the like button, subscribe, and leave us some comments. That'll help us find a wider audience. And just a friendly reminder, we did launch our website last month or 2 months ago.
Sure we did.
Yeah. thegreenscreenofdeath.com. You can find a little bit of extra content there. We're working on it. We're both busy guys, and you know, we're not that big on self-promotion either. Yeah, so
this shit would be so much easier if we were getting paid, dude.
That's right.
Give me a deadline.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. If anybody wants to support us by giving us money,
yeah,
that'd be good too.
Hey, hit us up. You know where to find us. And thanks again to anybody who's listened to us, who supported us through really cool feedback. We appreciate that. And hey, if you listen to this whole show, we appreciate it. We hope you keep coming back.
Did you enjoy the Tom Cruise noise at the end of the last episode?
Last episode.
Adrian put a little Easter egg there.
Yeah, that was some gold. I just couldn't discard that content while I was editing the show. Had to go somewhere. So
nice.
Yeah. I have a lot of fun with that kind of thing. And it's funny, on that topic, Don Julio mentioned, sometimes I'll beep out a swear word, but then I won't beep out the next one. I do that just for fun. Like, I'm just entertaining myself. So here's an example. I'll do it for you right now. I'll say, "Fuck you, bad movie." And then I'll say, "That movie's a piece of shit." And I'll edit the first one, but I won't edit the second. It's not me being sloppy. It's just me trying to be funny. So yeah, there you go. There's a little insight into the way I think while I'm editing the show.
Nice.
So, all right, let's wrap it up. Thanks for checking us out. We hope you stick around. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.